The clear implication of Het's testimony was that four of the hairs found in the Carter apartment came from Ron Williamson. Indeed, this was the sole purpose of putting Het on the witness stand. His presence and testimony highlighted the unfairness of expecting an indigent defendant to get a fair trial without giving him access to forensic experts. Barney had requested such assistance months earlier, and Judge Jones had declined. Judge Jones should have known better. 3 years earlier, a major case from Oklahoma landed at the U.S. Supreme Court, and its outcome rattled the criminal courts of the country. In Aik v. Oklahoma, the court said, "When a state brings its judicial power to bear on an indigent defendant in a criminal proceeding, it must take steps to assure that the defendant has a fair opportunity to present his defense. Justice cannot be equal where, simply as a result of his poverty, a defendant is denied the opportunity to participate meaningfully in a judicial proceeding in which his liberty is at stake." The Aik decision required that the basic tools of an adequate defense be provided by the state to an indigent defendant. It was ignored by Judge Jones in both the Fritz and the Williamson trials. Forensic evidence was a crucial part of the prosecution. Jerry Peters, Larry Mullins, Mary Long, Susan Land, and Melvin Het were all experts. Ron was left with only Barney, a competent courtroom advocate, but sadly, one unable to see the evidence. The state rested after Melvin Het. At the beginning of the trial, Barney waived his opening statement, reserving it for the start of his defense. It was a risky maneuver. Most defense lawyers can't wait to address the jurors early on to begin sowing doubt about the state's evidence. The opening statement and the closing argument are the only stages in a trial when a lawyer can directly address the jury, and they are opportunities too ripe to pass up. Barney, after the state rested, surprised everyone by again waiving his right to an opening statement. No reason was given, none was required, but it was a very unusual tactic. Barney called to the stand seven straight jailers. All denied they had ever heard Ron Williamson in any way implicate himself in the Carter murder. Wayne Joplin was the Pontotoc County court clerk. Barney called him as a witness to review the records of Terry Holland. She had been arrested in New Mexico in October 1984 and hauled back to Ada and placed in jail, where she promptly helped solve two sensational murder cases, though she waited 2 years to inform the police about Ron's dramatic confession to her. She pleaded guilty to the bad check charges, received a 5-year sentence with 3 suspended, and was ordered to pay court costs of $70, restitution of $527.09, $225 for attorney's fees at the rate of $50 per month, $10 a month to the Department of Corrections, and $50 a month to the Crime Victims Compensation Fund. She made one payment of $50 in May 1986. Then all was apparently forgiven. Barney was down to his last witness, the defendant himself. Allowing Ron to testify was risky. He was volatile. Earlier in the day, he had lashed out at Terry Holland, and the jury was already afraid of him. He had a criminal record, which Peterson would hammer him with, attacking his credibility. No one was certain how much, if any, of his meds he was receiving. He was angry and unpredictable, and, worst of all, he had not been prepped by his lawyer. Barney asked for a conference at the bench and said to Judge Jones, "Now then, the fun starts. I'd like to have a recess to do whatever I can as far as having any kind of calming influence on him. He seems, well, he hasn't been jumping up and down. I'm ready to have a recess anyway." "You're down to one possible witness?" Judge Jones asked. "I'm down to one, yeah. And I think you're using the right term, too, Judge.